You see, when you don't know who you are, you have to prove yourself. Some of you have to put others down, because unless you put others down, they're a threat to your value.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk. This is Joshua Hollick, your host today. And you know, friends, every once in a while, something special comes along that unites the people of God, and we are about to hit a season like that. There's something called Explore God Chicago, and Explore God is a seven-week sermon series through some of the biggest questions that people have about faith, like, does life have a purpose? Is there a God? Why does God allow pain and suffering? Is Christianity too narrow? Is Jesus really God? Is the Bible reliable? Can I know God personally? Things that people are talking about at the water cooler. People that are, you know, who are far from God are asking these kinds of questions. And we are so excited at New Life to join up with over 650 churches in and around Chicagoland this coming season to do this series together. It is going to be phenomenal. You're going to see billboards all over the place. You're going to hear things on the radio. You're going to see signage on Facebook and on social media and in the newspapers. And what we want you to know is it's not too late for you to tell your church about this. In fact, if you'd like information, go to exploregodchicago.com. It's totally free. Investors have paid over $500,000 into a marketing campaign to let Chicago know that it's okay to ask these questions, and there's safe places all around to come and have your questions answered. And the website itself has great videos. It's a $10 million website. People have been invested in this, and your church can participate totally for free, just like ours is, and it's a great opportunity. Don't miss it. Tell your pastor, tell your church leaders about it. Check it out. ExploreGodChicago.com. We love it if you partnered with us in reaching Chicago for Jesus. It's not too late to join. Check it out.
Thank you, Josh. Hi, everyone. We continue on with Pastor Mark's series called First Things First with the second half of his message called Reclaiming Your Identity. Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Let's get right into the Word with Pastor Mark on this edition of Straight Talk.
When you're alone in front of a mirror, some of you sing loud. You're in the bathroom, taking a shower, whatever. You sing loud and you're off tune. And you don't care. Why? Because no one else is around. Some of you have even been known to play air guitars. Prance around, act like a rock star. You don't care. Why? Because you're just alone. No self-consciousness there because you're alone. But as soon as you walk into a room filled with people that you don't know, suddenly you're conscious of who you are. You ask yourself this question: will I relate to those people? How do they see me? Are they like me? Am I different than they are? Does this dress make me look fat? I wonder if these shoes match. I wonder how people are thinking. Will I feel dumb if I talk to them? Are they going to look down at me because of the color of my skin? Do I relate here? Am I valuable? You ask yourself those questions because your identity is manifest when you are around other people. Your insecurities come out, your confidence comes out when you are around others. And the Apostle Paul is telling us this is how you are to behave in context with other people. He says compassion. Compassion has to do with not being insensitive to the needs and the hurts of other people. It's the opposite of insensitivity and callousness. It means that I care about other people. Kindness is the opposite of harshness and severity of one's attitudes and actions towards others. It means there's a sense of softness about our heart as we relate to others, not a rudeness or harshness, not a callousness. Humility is the opposite of arrogance and pride in one's attitude towards self. It does not consider ourselves superior to someone else or look down at someone else because they don't measure up to our standard. Gentleness is the opposite of roughness or ungraciousness. It's meekness under control. Patience is the opposite of revenge or anger. It's the ability to endure someone's exasperating conduct without flying into a rage. It's all about how we treat other people. And what God is saying is, this is who you are. And since you are this, now behave this way in context to other people, in relationship to other people. You see, when you don't know who you are, hear me, you have to prove yourself. See, if you don't know that you have value, some of you have to put others down. Because unless you put others down, they're a threat to your value. If you put others down, you feel like you're better. That's what a bully on the playfield is all about. Why does the bully pick on the little kid? Because he feels like if I put down the weak ones, then they're going to think I'm better. That bully grows up to be a man. Now he doesn't punch kids in the playfield. Now he cuts them down verbally and criticizes and puts others down. Now, show me someone that doesn't treat the little people right, and I'll show you someone that's insecure. Hello? Show me someone that doesn't treat the little people right, and I'll show you someone that's got a over-exaggerated sense of who they are. Oh, this happens in the spiritual world as well. You need to be careful how you treat the little people. You need to be careful. Jesus said, "Forbid not the little ones to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." These were kids. When the disciples said, "Kids, get out of here. You're bothering the master." Jesus said, "Have them come." Love kids. Love to have these kids around me. You know how kids are. They'll pull Jesus' beard, his hair. You know, he's the Messiah, the Son of God. "Hey, Jesus, what's this?" You know, let them come. You see, when we get proud, we look at other people and we look down at them. God forbid that whatever position you are in, God forbid that whatever position you are in, you look down at the little people. Because it's the heart for the hurting, it's the heart for those that are struggling and the little. That is the heart of Jesus. That's the heart of God. It's the heart of God. And by the way, men, can I tell you, sometimes men read a list like this: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and men say, "I don't want to be that. That sounds like a wimp." Let me tell you, it takes true strength, inner strength, to show patience and compassion. Jesus had compassion and humility, yet at times he turned over tables and kicked people out of the temple. Jesus had compassion and humility, but at times he confronted the Pharisees and he said, "You whitewash brood of vipers. You're like whitewashed on the outside, but you're full of dead men's bones on the insides." It took courage. The Son of God had courage. And as men, our strength lies not on our abuse of others or putting down others. Our strength lies on our identity of who we are and our ability to master self-control and discipline in our lives. What signifies your manhood is not your ability to intimidate your wife. Hello? What signifies your manhood is not your ability to intimidate your girlfriend and make her hover in the corner with fear of, "Please don't hurt me. Please don't say it." That doesn't make you a man. That takes from your manhood. What signifies your strength is your ability as a man to have the inner confidence and inner strength to be able to have patience and forbearing to control the rage and the anger and the energy to lead with a sense of dignity and a sense of compassion. That's what defines your manhood. And Jesus said, through the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, "Clothe yourselves with these things." Thirdly, the new you does not allow itself to be contaminated with relational baggage. I'm talking about the new you. The new you has a new identity. The new you has a new character. The new you does not allow yourself to be contaminated with relational baggage. It says in verse 13, bear with each other and forgive what other grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. You see, some of us need to learn a new habit, and it's what I call the duck habit. Some of us need to look at the duck. Have you ever seen a duck dive into a pond? And when it comes out, have you ever watched closely and see the beads of water, what happens on a duck? The beads of water, they roll down the duck's back and off its feathers. Why? Because the duck has, engineered by God, has a waterproof or water-resistant feathering. And the water cannot saturate. Since the water can't saturate, it just rolls off. As believers in Jesus Christ, the new identity, some of us do not let things roll off our back. And so we carry around with us the hurt and the anger and the resentment and the grievances. This person talked to me wrong. That person hurt me. My dad did this. My mother did this. My boss said this. My wife never did that. My father-in-law did that. And you carry a big bag of grievances on your back and you haven't let it roll off. You're dragging it around and you wonder why your walk is so slow. The bigger the bag gets, the more you're dragging. And some of you are just huffing and puffing beside your big bag, saying, I can't make progress in my life. Sure you can't. You have too much, you're dragging. You say, well, I don't know how to avoid it. Let me tell you how you avoid it. Keep short accounts. Deal with it today. What's that mean? That means you get hurt today, you deal with it today. That means you don't carry it with you. You see, why do I get angry? I get angry because I get hurt, because I feel like someone has done me wrong. And when I get angry, if I don't deal with it and I carry it over to the next day, then it morphs into resentment or bitterness. And resentment or bitterness does not have the same emotional charge, but it is more lethal than anger. It is a simmering poison in our system. And some of us have not dealt with our hurt, so we have grievances a lot about our towards a lot of people, and it's simmered into bitterness and anger, and it robs our joy, and it slows down our spirit. And the Bible says, be careful that none of you be contaminated by a root of bitterness that grows up to defile your entire being. And some of us have allowed that root of bitterness to penetrate our soul and defile our being, and that is not, the Apostle Paul says, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. The Bible also says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry and give the devil a foothold. You see, when you get angry, anger is not a sin. Anger is an emotion. You say, Pastor, so I can get angry and it's not a sin? Anger is not a sin. But anger leads to sin if it's not controlled. The fact that you get angry doesn't mean you've sinned. But when you get angry and you cuss out your co-worker, then you sin.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Reclaiming Who We Are. It's from our series called First Things First. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Colossians chapter 3 with his message, Reclaiming Who We Are.
The fact that you get angry is not a sin. In fact, sometimes God uses our anger. You know, anger is like energy. And sometimes our anger can be used for something. There's certain things you should be mad about. There's certain things that should rile up your anger. There's injustice in this earth. There's abuse that happens that should cause us to say, wait a second, someone's got to stand up and do something about that. That's righteous anger. But then there's time, this injury anger. Well, something's done to you and you get angry about it. And what happens is you simmer on that anger and you start feeling like something's done to me. Here's what happens. The new habit for you is God says it's you have the you have the daylight rule. As long as it's day, then you have until the sun goes down to deal with it. Now you got 15 minutes. You got to deal with it. Ask forgiveness. It's going to be real short. So you got to deal with things that day. Don't carry it over to the next day. That's a rule. Listen, if you're getting married, if you're married, that one rule can save you a lot of problems. I deal with it today. I don't carry it over. I forgive, it says, the way the Lord forgave you. How did the Lord forgive you? He forgave you of everything, even though you didn't deserve it. And he doesn't bring it to mind again. He doesn't recall it. And I've talked about this before, but what does it mean? There's a difference between not remember it, forgetting it, and not bringing it to mind. You see, some of you have a filing cabinet of hurts. And every time you get in a fight with your spouse, your girlfriend, or someone else, you have a whole filing cabinet. And you say, oh yeah? Well, wait just a second. 5 years ago, you said this, and I said this, and you said this, and you said this, and then you hurt me, and then you said these words. And some of you guys are wondering, like, how does she remember verbatim, word by word, things that were said 5 years ago? Man, I don't even remember that conversation. It's her filing cabinet. And let me tell you, the more you've read over that file, the more you remember it. And what forgiveness means is that you close that filing cabinet and you say, I could go there, but I choose not to go there. That's forgiveness. I choose not to go there. Why? Because every time you come to God on Sunday morning and you come to this altar because you failed in some way or another and you're asking repentance, the Holy Spirit doesn't say, oh, it's you again. I mean, I remember 7 years ago when you did this, you're here again. I mean, how many times are you going to come? That's not the way God does it. God forgives you. He throws your sins as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers them no more. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And some of you still remember it more than God remembers it. God has chosen not to remember. He's chosen to throw it away. He's chosen to forget what you did in your past. He's chosen to forgive you completely. That's how God functions. And then he says, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you are called to peace and be thankful. You see, love is the distinguishing characteristic of those that are followers of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, hey, you could give your body to be burned. You could do this. You could do that. If you have no love, it's nothing. John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. By the big King James Version Bible you carry around with you. No, doesn't say that. Doesn't say, they will know you are my disciples by the times you go to church on Sunday. No, it doesn't say that. They will know you are my disciples because you wear a earring with a cross in it. No, it doesn't say that. It says, this is how people will know. This is the mark of a believer, is they will know that you are my disciples by your love. They will know that you are genuine. Listen, because you care. We can have the right doctrine and have the wrong heart. We can have the right theology, but not evidence the characteristic that Jesus claimed would be the primary characteristic of our walk in him, and that's love, that we genuinely care for the people around us. Listen, if I could pray any virtue upon this church and any virtue strongly upon my life, it would be the ability to love people in an unconditional manner. What a powerful gift. You know why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. There's something about being loved. There's something about being loved. There's something about the love of God. There's power. There's healing in a community that knows how to care. There's power in a relationship that knows how to love. There's something about it. It's the language of God. It's the power of God. And listen, listen, it's not something that you can manufacture. Some of you need to pray, oh God, baptize me with a fresh degree of love. I need a fresh baptism of love for my kids and for my wife and for my neighbors and for people around me, because right now they just aggravate me. And I've had to do that as a pastor. There's times when I've said, you know, when you start seeing people as problems, then you know something's wrong. That's not the way Jesus sees you. Jesus doesn't see, oh, here comes a problem, walking problem. That's not the way Jesus sees you. You have issues, I have issues, but God doesn't label you a problem. You're a person in God. I remember years ago when I distinctly remember this moment. I'm not really sure why, but I was running busy. The church was growing, a lot of things going on. And I got a call in my office, and I knew this lady always had issues to complain about. And the secretary piped her into my office and said, so-and-so, and I got on. And I remember thinking, oh, here's a problem person. And I hung up that phone, and the Holy Spirit convicted me strongly. And I remember the Holy Spirit convicting me, that lady to me is not a problem. That lady is someone I love. And I remember getting in my office and said, God, I'm just dried up. I'm just dried up. Right now, anybody's going to be a problem to me. God baptized me afresh in love. And I remember falling on my knees and just weeping. I was in my office alone. No one was there. I just fell on my knees and weeping. I said, God, I need a fresh baptism of your love, Lord Jesus. Because I want to see people the way you see people. God, I want to be so full of your love, because God has not given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you a spirit of love, power, love, and of a sound mind. Refresh that in me, God. Let me love people the way you love people. And once in a while, you may need to do that. God, I need a fresh baptism of your love. Lastly, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, since you are members of one another. The peace of God, is the word rule there is the same word that we use for a referee. Let the peace of God be the arbitrator, the one who calls the shots in your heart. You see, God has called us to be at peace. And the peace of God is an arbitrator. Some of you win the argument, but you lost the battle. You're right. You're right in the information, but you're wrong in your attitude. And listen, the Bible says if you don't have peace, it's God telling you there's something that's not right, so fix it. Let the peace of God be your arbitrator. You say, I'm going to just wait for them to come because I'm right. Are you at peace about that? Or is there something in your heart saying, you know what, you need to humble yourself and talk to that person? Because if there's not a peace in your heart about it, it's because you need to fix something. Let the peace of God be the referee there, because you've been called to peace, and peace is not the absence of fighting. Peace is the connection of unity that God has called us to. And then he goes on and says, listen, verse 16, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. Let the word of Christ dwell richly inside of you. And when the word of Christ is dwelling, saturating you, when the word, the living word, not just when you've memorized, but when the word, the living word of God is inside of you, the word of God is living, alive, active, changing you. When it's inside of you, then what happens is automatically you start to splash over edification in other people. You have something to give. In fact, let me tell you, you'll know how to worship. Some of you have a hard time worshiping because to you it's just a song. But when the word of God is dwelling in you, it causes you to sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. It teaches you to be a worshiper because the word is in you. It's changing you. It's changing the way you think. It's altering you. And it changes your perspective on life. And it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That talks about who we're living. Who are you living for? If your answer is, I'm living for me, then your answer is wrong. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, then you need to be living for God. Whatever you do, it needs to be for God. Your words, your job, your actions, your marriage, the way you raise your kids, you need to ask yourself, God, how do you want me to do it?
This has been Pastor Mark Jobe's message called Reclaiming Your Identity. It's part of our series called First Things First, Keeping Your Priorities Straight. Join us again on the next Straight Talk as we continue the series. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.